All right, appreciate that, girls. Why don't you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. We had scheduled a missionary for tonight. Brother Dwayne Wilhite was scheduled to be here. And talked to him a couple weeks ago. He had some difficulties, and we didn't think he was going to be able to come. But he said, oh, no, we'll be able to make it. I said, okay. And when I came this morning, had a message on the machine that had some difficulty. He wasn't going to be able to come. And it kind of caught me off guard. I had not prepared out of John for tonight. And had really, really thought this would be good to have one more week of not full duty, not full time in the pulpit. But God had other ideas. And so we're always wanting His will rather than our will. And so tonight you get me. Amen. As I asked the Lord where He wants us to go tonight, took me over to Galatians. We were there this morning and talking about some things there out of Galatians chapter 6. But we're going to be in 5. We're going to start at verse 16. These verses are familiar to many of us. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. We might write today ETC, etc. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Lord, bless as we look to this passage tonight. There are truths here that we know we need and would be a help. Some of these are reminders to us. Some are things that we need to incorporate into our life. Lord, I just pray that you would use me tonight to be a help and a blessing to my people as we look to what you have to say here. Might our hearts be receptive. Might we be attentive to the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's no secret the Christian life can be a very difficult life to live. While every truly saved person has within them the knowledge that God desires for them to live according to His Word, just how to do that can be a very real dilemma. We all know God wants us to live for Him, don't we? But boy, putting it into practice can really, really be difficult. There are a lot of forces working against the Christian in this area of living for the Lord. We think about the fact that the world is against us. There's a lot of pressure from the world, peer pressure. There's a lot of influence brought to bear on us from the unsaved of the world. The world pressures us because it wants us to conform to its lifestyles and its values and its philosophies. We fight the world all the time, don't we? And then there's Satan. Satan is against us. He's behind the scenes working constantly through his demons to oppress us, to trick us, to tempt us, and to torture us in any way he can. Constant battle with the enemy, the world, and the devil. But there's yet another enemy, another force that works against us as we try to live the right kind of Christian life. This is that force that Paul talks about here. That is our own flesh. We have to battle every day our flesh. Our flesh is carnal. When you got saved, your flesh did not get saved. Your flesh is still the same flesh you had before you got saved. We got new life spiritually. Inside, we have new life. And we're supposed to evidence it outside. But there's a battle because this old flesh wants to do its thing. And God wants us to do His thing. Our flesh battles us because it wants us to please it. It wants us to appease it. It wants us to satisfy it constantly. Yet if we surrender to that, if we fail to walk in the Spirit and we live in the flesh, we find ourselves living in direct opposition to God and to His Word. You see, if we're walking in the flesh, we're going in this direction. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're going in this direction. You can't do both. Just can't do both. It's one or the other. So Paul writes here, and he's dealing with the very issue we're talking about. And here he gives the answer to the dilemma. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those desiring to overcome the flesh and win the battle with their flesh have only one route, have only one source of victory. We must learn to walk in the Spirit. Now, don't raise your hand, but let me ask you this question. How many in here would say, well, I want to live to please the Lord? I think all of us would raise our hand. I wonder how many would testify and say, I want to overcome my flesh and live a spiritual life. I think we'd all raise our hand. But friend, there's only one way to do that. You can go down to a Christian bookstore and there are books and books and books all over the place, self-help books. But listen, there's only one way to overcome the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Tonight, I just want to talk to you for a little while on why we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Number one, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit because it keeps us from following our flesh. Paul says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. Boy, there's a fight. And then he says this, these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, as believers, we're called upon to crucify our flesh. I have a message that I preach, and one of the points I deal with is crucifying the flesh. And I mention this. That doesn't mean we go hang ourselves on a tree. No, what it means is every day we put our flesh to death. We say, I will not live to please the flesh. I crucify my flesh. I'm going to count my flesh as dead so that I can live in the Spirit. In verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. See, God doesn't want us to live to please our flesh or to follow the desires of our flesh. Over there in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about this battle of the old man, the new man, and all that. And he teaches us there that we have to crucify the flesh daily and the lusts and the desires that our flesh has. We cannot entertain them. We cannot give them any room in our life. Now, as believers, we're in a constant battle, and nobody's exempt. I don't care. Listen. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care what a great Christian you are. You're not exempt from this battle. the fact is this, and anyone who really walks close to the Lord will tell you, the closer you walk to God, the harder this battle becomes. Because the more opposition you face. But we have to fight the battle. Nobody's exempt. Paul, the greatest Christian I believe they ever walked this earth, fought the same battle we do. But here's the thing. We have to make a conscious decision. I am not going to allow my flesh to have its way. I'm going to walk in obedience to God and to the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, and we need to understand this. Nobody is going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit or walk in the Spirit by accident or unintentionally. Listen, it'd be wonderful if we got up one morning and all of a sudden we're just walking in the Spirit. Somehow God worked in us and, you know, we just got up. We didn't have any more fleshly desires. We didn't have any more deeds of the flesh. There was no more battle. We just got up and we're going to live for God and live for God all day. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Don't happen that way. As soon as you open your eyes in the morning, I used to think as soon as your feet hit the floor, but no, as soon as you open your eyes in the morning, the battle's on. And right then you need to make the decision. Okay, who am I going to live for today? Am I going to walk in the Spirit or am I going to walk in the flesh? And then you need to make the decision. I'm going to crucify my flesh. I'm not going to let the flesh run my life today. We need to strive to walk in the Spirit. We need to fight the battle. We need to refuse to give in. If we fail to walk in the Spirit, then of necessity, we're going to end up walking in the flesh. It's one or the other. So number one, we need to walk in the Spirit because it keeps us from following our flesh. Number two, because the deeds of our flesh are wicked. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The deeds of this flesh, the deeds that our natural man, the old man, wants are wicked. Paul said in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And all flesh is the same in its wicked desires. And sadly, we live in the flesh. We have to have this flesh. So we have desires that have to be crucified. They have to be checked, so to speak. You see, left unchecked, our flesh knows no limits in wickedness. Did you hear that? Left unchecked, our flesh as believers knows no limits. That's why many times we'll see believers and they'll go off into sin. And they will do things we would have never believed they would do. How many of you have ever seen that? I mean, somebody, you just would never even doubt their salvation. I mean, they live for the Lord and all of a sudden you see them go down the road and they're doing things. You say, how? You know what's happened? They gave in to the flesh. And now the flesh is running their lives. And when it's unchecked by the Holy Spirit, it'll take you anywhere that the unsaved can go. Paul goes on here, and it's interesting how he lists the deeds of the flesh. What a list that is. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. He says they're apparent. If I could come around to you and ask each of you individually and say, hey, what are the works of the flesh? You wouldn't have any trouble telling me, would you? The things that the flesh wants that God don't want, you wouldn't have any trouble listing it, would you? Why? They're manifest. They're apparent. Listen, you find me a spiritual Christian who's walking in the Spirit, and you find me a carnal person who's walking according to the flesh, watch their lives. The deeds of the flesh are going to be so apparent in this person's life. And Paul lists them here. Here's where the flesh takes you. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. Hey, look up here. A man does not walk with God. A woman does not walk with God and read their Bible and pray and fellowship with the Lord and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and go and commit adultery. Did you hear me? Well, then how do Christian people end up in adultery? They quit walking in the Spirit. And pretty soon they're given in to the desires of the flesh. Paul says they're manifest. Adultery, fornication. Listen, we're living in a wicked world that sexual perversion and all manner of, it's just everywhere. And so we have to protect ourselves and we have to say, hey, I'm not going down that route. You know, listen, I have a book on my shelf. It's called Every Man's Battle. You know, every man fights the same battle if he's a real man. You know, if he's not. And the battle is lusting after women. Looking. And we have to fight that battle. We have to say no. The pornography thing is so prevalent today and is so available today. I read statistics and it scares me to death about how many men are looking at pornography on a computer, percentages. And what's even scarier is when you read statistics on how many Christian men have admitted to looking at pornography on a computer. How's that happen? Give in to the desires of the flesh. See, if you're going to stay away from that kind of thing, if you're going to stay away from fornication, by the way, as it's used there, that means any kind of sexual sin, you're going to have to make a decision. I'm not going to let the flesh run my life. Sure, it's a battle, but you have to fight the battle. He goes on. Oh my goodness, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's just wicked living. Idolatry, witchcraft. How do people follow witchcraft? Not walking in the Spirit. And on he could go. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling. Those are all indications of fleshly living. And sadly, Christians can live in those things. Now, if we want to avoid these kind of things, we have to walk in the Spirit. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. Now look at what he says. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Remember Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. The things that I shouldn't do, I do. The things that I should do, I don't do. And he goes on about all that. He's talking about that same kind of situation here. He says the things that you should do, you don't do. You can't do. Why? Because you're not walking in the power that will enable you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the power to overcome the flesh on our own. But if we'll live in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. So many Christians find themselves involved in these works of the flesh because they follow the desires of their flesh. They let the flesh control their lives. So we need to walk in the Spirit, number one, because walking in the Spirit keeps me from following the flesh. And number two, because the deeds of my flesh are wicked. And number three, because it enables us to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Now we get down to verse 22. He talks about, you know, you could say this, in verses 19, 20, and 21, he's talking about the fruit of living in the flesh. All right? He says this is the fruit living in the flesh brings. It's manifest. Look, if I walk by a tree and I see apples on that tree, it's manifest this is an apple tree. It's bearing the fruit. You understand that? So if a person's living in the flesh, here's the fruit it's going to bear, and he lists it. But then he says, now, in comparison to that, Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what living in the Holy Spirit's going to produce. And he lists it out for us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, Christian character is produced by the Holy Spirit, not by self-effort. I want you to respond to me. How many of you want to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? You can't get it on your own. You can't go home and say, well, here's the things I'm going to do to develop the fruit of the Spirit in my life. You can't do it. The only way you can develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that He can develop it in you. Paul wants us to understand that. Those walking in the flesh aren't going to display the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, if I go by an apple tree, it's not going to be bearing peaches. If we want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, if we want to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit so that He can produce us, produce it in us. Walking in the flesh, those who do that, not going to display the fruit of the Spirit. See, those who are walking in the flesh can't show Christian love. I don't know about you. Before I got saved, I didn't love people much. I didn't care too much about other people. I was like everybody else. Me first. Isn't that what the world's all about? Now, if you're a believer and you're walking in the flesh, you're still going to be me first. Can I say this? I've encountered some Christians who were right there. They didn't care much about what God wanted or what they should be doing. It was all about me. They didn't love other people. They didn't care how much they hurt other people. Love. Fruit of the Spirit is going to be love. Love for other people. Love for our enemies. Love for the unlovely. Love for God. It's going to be produced in us by the Holy Spirit. If you're going to walk in the flesh, you're not going to produce that kind of love. Not only that, but joy. Would you say you have joy? Just examine yourself. Don't look at other people. As a Christian, do you have joy? Now, I'm not talking about you walk around with a happy face all the time. I worry about those people. There's either something wrong or they're up to something. When they're like that all the time. But listen, though we may not have a happy face all the time, we can have joy all the time. In the midst of our trials, in the midst of the hard circumstances and all, we can have joy in our heart. Why? Well, the situation may be bad. What's going on may be bad, but I'm still saved, and He's still living in me, and He's still in control. Amen. So I can still have joy. Listen, I just spent a couple days in the hospital, and I spent 5 days in the hospital. Now, I don't know how much time you've spent in the hospital. But if you haven't spent much, let me tell you, they're not pleasant places to spend your time. I mean, it's good we have hospitals to go to. You know, when you're bad sick and you need it, it's good they're there. And sometimes people think, oh, be in a hospital. Boy, you just lay there all day and do nothing. And they bring your food. And you know, yeah, right. I just talked to somebody who was in the hospital, and they said, boy, you don't go to the hospital to get any rest. I said, I know all about that. You go to bed, you know, you finally get to sleep, and they come along, we got to draw some blood, vampire. So they draw your blood and they go away, and about an hour later, here comes somebody else. We got to take your vitals. So they take your vitals and they go away, and a little while later, somebody else comes along and says, we got to do this. Time to take medicine. Blah, blah, blah. All the time. Not particularly wonderful places to be. But you know, even when you're in a hospital, you can still have joy. You know, it's not my favorite place to be, but I can still have joy. Why? I'm saved. It could be a lot worse. I told you last Wednesday night, I think I mentioned how I was blessed that I could get up and walk the hall. Because I passed a lot of people, couldn't do that. We can still have joy in the midst of our trials. But that's produced by the Holy Spirit. We get in the flesh, we're not going to have that kind of joy. We can have peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. I taught in Sunday school about the storm. The disciples got in, and you know, Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat, and they're all worked up. Carest thou not that we perish? Didn't bother Jesus. He was sleeping. He had peace. Why? He knew it was all under control. And we can have peace no matter what our circumstances are because it's all under control. Listen, I don't like what's going on in the world. I don't like what's going on in our country. It bothers me. But at the same time, I have peace knowing God's letting it all happen. God's in control of it all. And it's all working towards that end of His. And so I can have peace in it. Long-suffering. You know, in your Bible, as you come across the word patience, we automatically want to put long-suffering for patience. In a lot of instances, when the Bible refers to patience, it's talking about endurance. Keeping going. Enduring the difficulties and hardships. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is what we would today call patience. Being patient with people. Huh? Don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask the question. Are you patient with people? Oh, yeah, I'm patient. Really? How about in the restaurant when the waitress doesn't take care of you like she's supposed to? Are you patient? How about when you're down at the store and somebody steps in front of the line and you in front of you in the line? Are you patient? On and on we could go about this idea of being patient, long-suffering. Listen, when people... Have you ever had somebody that you say, man, they wear me out. Are you patient? See, God can give us the patience we need. And I'm thankful. I'll testify. He's worked on me a lot on patience. Not there yet. But we've come a long way. Learning this thing about being patient. Long-suffering. Forbearing with people. Not quick to lash out. Not quick to get angry. How about being gentle? Showing kindness to others. That's what he's talking about there. How about goodness? That's a pattern of moral excellence in your life. What kind of moral excellence do you have when nobody's watching? See, that's the real test. It's not how do you behave and what do you do and don't do when people are watching. It's when nobody's watching. What kind of moral character do you really have? Well, you know, I can do this. Nobody's going to know. And it might be true. Nobody on earth will know. But God knows everything. Faith. We can't display faith if we're not walking in the Spirit. You know, it's great to get around Spirit-filled people. There are people with faith. And when you get around them, no matter what's going on in their life, they're just trusting the Lord. No matter how big the need, no matter how big the problem, no matter how heavy the burden, they're just full of faith. And you can tell it just in how they talk and express themselves. They're not boo-hooing. They're not, you know, being negative and pessimistic. They're optimistic. Listen, that's produced by the Holy Spirit. And we could go on, meekness and temperance. Oh, that temperance thing. Self-control. You have a habit of losing your temper? Or as Pastor Fidena used to say, finding your temper? Well, I just fly off the handle. Well, that's not acceptable. Oh, that's just my personality. No, that's your flesh. Ooh. Say amen. But see, the Holy Spirit can help us with that. The Holy Spirit can help us to get control of that. Those who desire to develop the fruit of the Spirit need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Then another reason we need to learn to walk in the Spirit, it affects our relationship with other people. Look at verses 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, if you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to have good and right and proper relationships with other people. You're going to be, number one, all about you. You're not going to be patient. You're not going to be long-suffering. You're not going to be loving. And on we could go. And if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to be full of pride. I said this morning, and I believe this, I believe pride is the worst sin. I read how it was pride that caused Satan to say, I will, I will, I will, I will, and got him kicked out of heaven. Pride. He was going to be greater than God. And we have to battle our pride. And if we're not taking care of our pride, we're not going to have right relationships with other people. Those walking in the flesh are going to be irritating to other people. He says we're not to provoke one another, envying one another, those kind of things. You ever get around somebody who's always looking for an argument? How many of you have ever been around somebody that are always looking for an argument? No matter what you say, they're going to find something to argue. I'm thinking about a man right now. I love him to death. You know, he was part of our church for a while. But this fellow, no matter what you said, he had something to say in opposition. And you wonder why. Why do people want to be that way? Well, they're not letting the Holy Spirit deal with their heart. You know, God's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of division. Amen. And the fruit of the Spirit's going to work in us to be united with other people, not irritating other people, not arguing and fighting and fussing and feuding with other people. Those who are walking in the flesh are going to be full of envy and jealousy. Have you read in your Bible where it says over in Proverbs that the flesh is never satisfied? So if you're walking in the flesh, you're never going to be satisfied. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to envy other people. You're going to be jealous of other people. When they get ahead, when they get something, why? Because you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh, and your flesh wants more. But see, when you're walking in the Spirit, you can rejoice with those who prosper and those who get, and maybe you don't. Why? It's a spiritual thing. It's not your flesh ruling, but the Holy Spirit. Flesh never satisfied. Those walking in the Spirit are going to have good relationships. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, he talks about forgiving one another, loving one another. And that's the way we're going to be, tender-hearted. And then he goes on in Ephesians and talks about how if we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to submit ourselves to one another and to the authority that God's placed over us. And we're going to be submissive to that authority structure God has of God and in Christ. And then we come down to the husband and then the wife and then the children, and we're going to be yielded to that. We're not going to fight that. But you know, if you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to like that. That idea of wives submitting under their husband, you know, that really, really rankles a lot of women. And I think I told you that a few years ago, the Southern Baptists, they had a 2-year study on the question, is a wife called upon in the Bible to submit to her husband? 2 years. I could have settled it in 30 seconds. Yeah. You say, I don't like that. That's your flesh don't like that. Because our flesh don't want to submit to anybody. Listen, you want to be your own free moral agent. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do and don't want to answer to anybody. But God says, wait a minute. We all have to answer. By the way, wives, husbands aren't off the hook. You see, you're to submit yourself to your husband as husbands are supposed to submit themselves to Christ. And children are supposed to submit themselves to mom and dad. That's God's order. And you see, in ourself, in our flesh, we don't want to do that. Listen, young folks, I love you to death, but I know you don't want to submit to mom and dad. Huh? How many times do you want to argue with them? How many times do they say no, and you say, ah, rah, rah, rah. Or they say, here's what you're going to do, you say, ah, rah, 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 rah. Huh? Why is that? Because we have this thing called flesh and we want our own way. But see, when we're walking in the Spirit and an authority over us says, here, you know, we submit. We say, okay, if that's what God says. And we can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, we don't have time to go into it. That goes down to employers and employees and just, you know. But it's a spiritual thing. And then one final thing, we need to walk in the Spirit because it causes us to demonstrate Christian compassion. Look at chapter 6. I believe this is a continuation of what Paul's saying here. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are... What's that next word? What? What is being spiritual? Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says, brethren, saved people, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you that are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm just going to say this real plain. We can't be the compassionate Christians we need to be if we're walking in the flesh. If we're walking in the flesh, Paul's talking about a brother or a sister taken in a fault. What's he talking about? He's talking about a believer that has stumbled. A believer that's backslidden. A believer that's gotten themselves into sin. Okay, we have somebody, and by the way, there's nobody in this, but somebody in the church, we find out, oh boy, they got a bad sin in their life. Whoo! Okay, if I'm walking in the flesh, what am I going to do? Hey, you know so-and-so? You know what they're up to? You know what they're doing? Huh? And you start going around, hey, so-and-so's doing this. Man, isn't that wrong? Blah, 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 blah. Aren't they wicked? Blah, 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 blah. Huh? Is there any compassion in that? Is there any grieving in your heart that somebody's gotten away from the Lord? But see, if we're walking in the Spirit, now when we hear somebody's in sin, somebody's stepped away, somebody's fallen, it grieves us. And instead of we get in our prayer closet, oh God, they're off in sin. Help them to get right. Help me to help them to get right. A little different. Compassion. Compassion for other people. You know, it's easy to point the finger. It's easy to run the mouth. But that's not what spiritual people do. That's what people who are in the flesh do. Gossip, backbite. Paul says, hey, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Go after them. Care about them. Pray for them. Instead of being critical. And then he says this, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. See, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to care about other people. I said the flesh don't care about other people. The flesh is all about me. Would you agree? To really care about other people and have that compassion and burden for other people, I need to have, and God wants me to have, I need to be walking in the Spirit. It's easy to pass by people that are having troubles and trials and hurting and all that kind of thing and just, it's not my problem. But you know, when you're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you. Hey, can you help that person? Hey, can you be a blessing? Can you do something just to lift their spirits? Look around here. Look around. Do this. Look around. It's okay. Got a bunch of people here tonight. And I would imagine if I could come to every one of you and say, you have any difficult things in your life? You have any troubles? You have any hurts? You have any heartaches? Have any needs? You think I could, people would say yes? I think everyone in this room would at some place say, yeah, I'm hurting. Yeah, I've got problems. Yeah, I have needs. Do you care? Do you care? See, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to care. It's going to bother us when we know other people who are having problems and hurts and difficulties. And we're going to want to try to do what we can if we can. It's a spiritual thing. But see, none of this happens if we're walking in the flesh. Now, God commands believers over in Ephesians to walk in the Spirit. That's a commandment. Paul over here in Galatians now goes even further. And he not only brings out that God commands us to walk in the Spirit, but he gives us the why. Why do we need to walk in the Spirit? Because if we don't, we're going to walk in the flesh. Isn't that simple? Boy, I get amazed. People say, well, I can't understand the Bible. The Bible's so hard to understand. What's so hard to understand about that? It's one or the other. God commands us to walk in the Spirit. Why does he command us? Because he wants to be a big meanie ogre and have all the power. No, because he knows that's the way of victory. He knows that's the way of peace and joy and long-suffering. He knows that's the best thing in the world for every believer. but it don't just happen. That's where the problem comes. It don't just happen. It'd be a wonderful thing if I had some kind of magic wand up here and I could just wave it over everybody and say, "All right, walk in the Spirit." It'd be done. Don't have it. Don't have it. But I have this. I have a book here that says, if you will desire to walk in the Spirit, if you will fight the battle, God will enable you. And if you'll walk in the Spirit, listen to me. If you'll walk in the Spirit, believe me, your life is going to be a whole lot better than what it is now if you're not walking in Spirit. Just how do you know that? Because I've been on both sides of that fence. Everybody in this room has been on both sides of that fence. We don't always walk in the Spirit. But we found out the place of blessing and joy and peace and all of it. Walking in the Spirit. So it's your decision. Which do you want to do? You want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? You want to walk in the flesh? It's your decision. I can't make it for you. Paul couldn't make it for you. The fact is, God's not going to make it for you. He says, here's what you need to do. Here's what I want you to do. Here's my command. But God lets you make the decision. Which do you want? I know where I am. I want to walk in the Spirit. I realized a long time ago how much I need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to do that. So, as much as I can, I give myself to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. I want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to walk after the flesh. You do that? It's your decision. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.